A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. It was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. Instead, someone has testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, subjecting all things under his feet. In subjecting all things to him, he left nothing not subject to him. Yet at present, we do not see all things subject to him, but we do see Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death. He, for who a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. The word of the Lord. You have given your Son rule over the works of your hands. O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name over all the earth. What is man that you should be mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you should care for him? You have made him a little less than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him a rule over the works of your hands, putting all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fishes of the sea, and whatever swims the paths of the seas.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet. Come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee.
Verbum Domini.
Question: what can free us from being anxious about the things of the world, whatever those things might be that make us anxious? Answer: the authority of Jesus Christ. Period. I love the words of the Mass just before the communion rite. Protect us from all distress as we await the joyful hope of the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The former translation in the Roman Missal, the Sacramentary, was protect us from all anxiety. Remember that? Before the last translation was done. The new translation again, protect us from all distress, huh? The authority of Jesus Christ is what frees us from being anxious about the things of the world. He who commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. They obey him. The people in the time of Moses, my friends, they begged for such a prophet, right? That promise is fulfilled definitively in Jesus Christ, the God-man, whose authority astonishes the assembled crowd in today's gospel with the casting out of an unclean spirit. It's interesting that the unclean spirit says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? We know who you are." The devils have keen insight, right? The fallen angels. The authority of Jesus, that's what I want you to take with you today. And a few more points. Remember, yesterday was belief, repentance, and vocation. Today's first point is the authority of Jesus Christ. Remember that. All of this is why I love Psalm 95, which states, "If you hear his voice, harden not your heart." In other words, do not harden your heart if you hear his voice, right? But rather, welcome him into your heart. Welcome him and his authority into your heart. In fact, go one step further. Give him authority over your life. Have you said those words to Jesus Christ today? "Jesus Christ, I give you authority over my life today. Amen." But then get ready, because some things might happen that you're not quite prepared for. Give him authority over your life. So we are to strive to adhere to the Lord without distraction, without anxiety, the new translation, without distress, and to give him authority in our lives by being obedient to him. These are prominent themes in today's gospel and also the first reading. To whom shall you listen? Jesus Christ. That is who you will listen to. Why? Because obeying the authority of Jesus Christ makes us more human. He had a human nature just like ours in every way but sin, right? He experienced our living on earth. He experienced our distresses. He experienced our temptations. He knew all those things, all without sin. So he gets it. He gets the human condition. Jesus Christ gets the human condition. So by obeying his authority, the God-man, the second person of the Trinity incarnate, makes us more human. But see, people have turned away from Christ today. This is why there's so much evil in the world. Have you noticed the evil in the world is getting more blatant, more in your face? Obeying Jesus Christ makes us more human and fills us with a burning desire for things truly great to happen in our lives. As baptized Christians, we now share in Christ's destiny, and we hope to be crowned with glory and honor. His baptism means something for our baptism, his baptism that we celebrated just 2 days ago. As baptized Christians, we now share in Christ's destiny, and we hope to be crowned with glory and honor. God is so mindful, our Trinitarian God is so mindful of us, that he comes into our midst to exercise authority over us by expelling out unclean spirits and consecrating us to himself through his incarnate Son, the second person of that same Trinity. That's how close that Trinitarian God is to us. The Trinitarian God is to us. Hearing Christ teach with such authority astonishes us because he dispels our deepest fears, our deepest anxieties, our deepest distresses, whatever those might be. He is the one through whom all things exist. The opening words of St. John's Gospel makes that very clear. Now, with this authority that we want Christ to have over our lives, and again, make that your prayer today, Jesus Christ, and in your name, I invite you today to have complete authority over my life. That should be a daily prayer, and said not with flippancy or roteness, but to mean it, all right? With that authority now comes what? Obedience. Obedience goes hand in hand with authority. So, point number one, the authority of Jesus Christ. Point number two, your obedience to him. The authority of Jesus Christ and your obedience toward him. Obedience is the moral virtue that inclines the human will to comply with the will of another who has the right to command. The extent of obedience is as wide as the authority of the person who commands it. Thus, obedience to God is without limit. Whereas obedience to human beings is limited by higher laws that must not be transgressed, and by the competency or authority of the one who gives the orders. As a virtue, obedience is pleasing to God because it means the sacrifice of one's will out of love for God. I'm going to repeat that. That's an important point. As a virtue, which it is, obedience is pleasing to God because it means the sacrifice of one's will out of love for God. The term obedience is derived from the Latin ob audire, which means to listen intently or to turn toward and hear. Ob audire, obedience. To listen intently or to turn toward and listen to. Sirach 24:22 says, "He who obeys me," this is God talking to the prophet, "he who obeys me will not be put to shame. He who serves me will never fail." That's a powerful scripture passage. He who obeys me will not be put to shame. He who serves me will never fail. Now that last point, he who serves me will never fail, another translation gives it this: and those who work with my help for them will not sin. And those who work with my help for them will not sin. In that case, the whole passage would read with that secondary translation, he who obeys me will not be put to shame, and those who work with my help for them will not sin. Invite him into your life. Do more than that. Give him authority over your life. We've celebrated the Sacred Incarnation 9 months ago. We celebrated Christmas a couple weeks back. The Father's purpose in revealing the Son to the world was to make himself known to us all, and so to welcome into eternal life those who believe in him, establishing them in justice and preserving them from eternal death. Saint Irenaeus, from his treatise Against the Heresies. I love that title, Against the Heresies. It kind of sums it all up. The Father's purpose in revealing the Son was to make himself, the Father, known to us, and so to welcome into eternal rest those who believe in him, establishing them in justice and preserving them from eternal death. And then St. Irenaeus ends with, to believe in him means to do his will. Obedience to that authority shown in the Son. Remember, Jesus says, he who sees me sees the Father. He's the revelation of the Father. So, the authority of Christ and your obedience to him leads to the very purpose why the Father sent the Son, to save you from eternal death. It's a great thing. You know, it's interesting that exorcists agree how people come under demonic influence, even to the point of a full possession. But even if it's not a full demonic possession, there's three primary ways that exorcists agree upon that people can come under demonic influence. Patterns of sin, especially patterns of sin that involve severe vice, occultic activity, involvement in the occult. And number three is being a victim of trauma. Now, that might sound kind of harsh at first because the person's indeed a victim. They're not the perpetrator of the trauma, they're the victim. But we'll understand more why that can lead to demonic influence in a moment. The first category is referred to as patterns of sin. This does not mean simply being a sinner, since all of us are sinners, right? Rather, this refers to people who have a habit of serious sin that they are attached to, that they like, and have no desire or intention of stopping it. That is, what is objectively and subjectively a mortal sin. In other words, there is a conscious decision to give oneself over to the serious sin, the vice. And demons can see this as an invitation to their activity, a portal, a gateway, a doorway into the person's life. Number two, the second category of influences that invite demons into one's life is the occult or occultic activity, its practices. Occult practices include such things as Satanism, the use of tarot cards and the Ouija board, and the consulting of psychics and mediums. This also includes necromancy, the attempt to consult with spirits of the dead for the sake of learning hidden knowledge of future events. And thirdly, exorcists agree that being a victim of trauma or abuse is a third category that can lead to demonic influence in one's life. For example, the trauma may be witnessing a murder, a suicide, or a horrific accident. The abuse may be sexual, physical, or psychological. One exorcist explains that those who go through these experiences can end up living in the dark emotions of anger, rage, resentment, and revenge. He stressed then the importance of such victims of trauma getting the proper psychological and spiritual help that they need in order to have some degree of personal healing. Indeed, a great degree of personal healing. The healing needs to take place. If such people do not get the psychological and the spiritual help and healing that they need, those unhealed emotions can weaken their relationship with God. Ah. Because they're not healed, their relationship with God becomes weakened. No acceptance of his authority over their life, no obedience toward him. And so the demonic influence can have a gateway, a portal into their life, he or she who suffered the trauma. So we need to be healed of our past. We want to give Jesus that authority over our lives. We want to be obedient to him. So the authority of Christ, our obedience to him, and living a strong spiritual life. That's the third and final point today. And they kind of tie in with yesterday's three points: belief, right? Repentance, right? And then vocation, living your vocation well. Because you believe, because you repent, you live your vocation well. Those viewers today who may not have seen yesterday's homily, I invite them to go back and watch yesterday's homily for Monday, January 13th, because I talk about those three points: belief, repentance, and vocation. You believe well, you repent well, you end up living your vocation well. Single, married, a consecrated religious, whatever it might be. Today, you give Jesus authority over your life. You give him obedience over your life. Okay? You give him that obedience of the authority of him in your life. Okay? And you live a strong spiritual life to support those first two points. How can we do that? A quick 14 list point from Father Wade: monthly confession at least weekly Eucharist when you fulfill your Sunday obligation, faithfulness to a daily reader, okay? There's a lot of good ones out there. One Bread, One Body, Magnificat, The Word Among Us, a daily reader that has the daily Mass readings in it, a morning offering upon arising, the daily rosary, the daily Divine Mercy Chaplet, even if while walking and getting your exercise in, right? Fasting according to the mind of the church at least one day a week. Two daily examinations of conscience, the particular examine at midday and the general examine at the end of the day, closing each one with an act of contrition. Getting into the habit of saying short aspirational prayers throughout the day. O most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. Each time you pass a cemetery, you know, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and all the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. My guardian angel, protect me. Okay. All these short, fervent aspiration prayers and getting into the habit of saying them throughout the day. The use of sacramentals like holy water in your home, holy water in your vehicle, blessing yourself with holy water before a journey. Okay. The rosary is also a sacramental, so some of these dovetail with one another. Sacred scripture, a chapter a day, with some meditation to follow it. Reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the Universal Catechism, even if just one or two numbered paragraphs daily, and systematically over the course of a year, going through the Catechism. Being familiar with a shorter version of the lives of the saints and paying particular attention to those saints that have the same state in life as you. Husbands and fathers, pay particular attention to the husband and father saints. Wives and mothers, pay particular attentions to the wife and mother saints. Priests, pay particular attention when you read the shorter versions of the lives of saints who were priests. Consecrated women religious, the same thing. And I'm a big advocate of St. Faustina's diary. Again, maybe one or two numbered paragraphs a day. You know. Little by little, develop a strong spiritual life. The authority of Christ, invite it into your life. Obedience to Christ, practice it in your life. And foster and live a strong spiritual life. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.